Father, this morning again, we just continue to lift our hearts to You. Lord, we acknowledge Your presence. Lord, Your grace, that You are Lord of Your church. Lord, we wait at Your command. And Father, we ask that You would speak to us, continue to speak to us this morning as we look into Your Scriptures, Lord, and we come from all different types of weeks. Lord, some of us on a mountain, some of us on a valley, some of us under the valley. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, You know our hearts. Lord, and You sent Your Spirit, Lord, to lift us up. Lord, You sent Your Spirit, Lord, to give us life. Lord, You sent Your Spirit that we might glorify Christ. So, Lord, I ask that You help me to do that this morning as we look into the Scriptures, Lord, that You help each of us to have hearing hearts, to hear what You would be saying to the church. Lord, give us hearts of just love and openness, Father, and just a joy in being together. And Father, I want to pray, Lord, for the family of Shane Johnson. Lord, we ask Your blessing upon them. Lord, You know these situations, Father, and we just ask, Lord, that You would just bless them. Lord, that You would make Yourself known. Father, that You would heal wounds and broken hearts. Father, we ask that You would, through tragedy, Lord, You would bring good. Lord, this is what You do, Lord, all the time. That which the enemy has meant for evil, Lord, You work it for good somehow, Lord. So we ask for good things. Lord, we thank You that You are a God who is above all things. Lord, there is nothing impossible to You. So we just ask Your blessing upon the family, Lord, and we just thank You, Lord, that You are able to do these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. I hope to finish chapter 3 today, believe it or not. Let's read verses 14 through 21, 14 to the end of the chapter, and then we'll land on verses 20 and verses 21. Okay, so I'm in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Our English doesn't do us justice. Paul's Greek doesn't do him justice for what the Spirit has revealed to his heart. His heart is exploding. His mind is hit, the wall, is wanting to talk about the goodness of God, the fullness of God, the attributes of God, the character of God, the power of God. But he brings us to this, and when you look at, we've gone through verses 14 through 19 over the past couple months, and I talked about it like being a ladder where up the rung we go into where it ends on the top rung, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a promise. I don't know where you are today, but just think, to be filled with all the fullness of God. Doesn't that answer a lot of our problems? In fact, all of them. Doesn't that answer a lot of our questions? In fact, all of them. And this is God's will for our lives. This is why His Spirit has come, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. And there, you can't go higher than that in prayer. And so at this point, the Spirit leads Paul to do that, which is only only makes sense. He goes into a doxology and he says, "Now unto him who is able." He closes it in a sense and he points our view and our hearts heavenly. Okay, because how are these things going to be? How is it going to be in your life? In my life? How is this going to happen? That you can be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. How is that going to happen? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height, and to know the love of God that passes all knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. How is that going to happen? God is able. This is always our answer. God is able. If I look to myself, I will fail. If I look to you, I will fail. If you look to your husband, you will fail. If you look to your wife, it will fail. If you look to your children, it will fail. If you look to a pastor or an elder or a buddy, it will fail because they are not able. Now unto him who is able. Isn't that great? And every one of us can look to him regardless of where we are and what we are in. You cannot always look for your wife because she might not be there, or your husband, or your best friend, or your whoever is your spiritual helper, earthly speaking, physically speaking, because they might not be there. But now unto him who is able. He is always able. And if God is able, this is the thing, he is also willing. We don't need to twist God's arm for these things because he's already said he wanted to do these things for us. God, we don't have to twist God's arm. He is able and he is willing. So it's a tremendous, if you want to call it, a doxology. Our problem is, my problem is, is that we don't believe it. And a proof of it that we don't believe it is because we don't seek God for it. Okay? You know, if I told you there was an elephant in the kitchen, would you actually go and look? I hope you don't believe me. You know, you wouldn't. But if I said there was a pizza in the kitchen, maybe you would. But, you know, the problem is why we don't seek after these things sometimes is because we don't believe it. And turn to Psalm 81. Man, the time's almost, it's something else. Pull the batteries off that clock. Psalm 81. This is just a warning, and I don't want to spend time on the negative side of things, but this is a warning that was given to Israel, and make sure that we apply the education of this warning to ourselves. It starts out in verse 1, obviously, Psalm 81, "Sing aloud unto God who is our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob." Hopefully that was somewhat of our experience this morning, right? Did you sing aloud unto God who is our strength? Did we make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob? Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp and the psaltery. So blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast. So he's challenging us, you know, to just worship, to be praiseful, to bring him. But Israel didn't do it. We dropped to verse 8. "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me." Drop down to verse 10. "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways." There was unbelief in their hearts. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. So we have these wonderful things that we need to believe God. I don't know what it is in your life that is your biggest enemy. What it is in your life that trips you up. What it is in your life that seems to mock Christ in you. But God is able. Now unto him who is able. We must believe God that He can sanctify us wholly, that He can present us faultless before Him. We must believe those things. We must live those things. We must experience those things. So let's not fulfill the warning. I want to look at this little phrase, He is able, okay, to do exceeding abundantly. He is able. Let's do a little tracing of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Because this is really critical that we understand that our hearts embrace this, that it's a revelation to us, that there's a knowing that we know that we know that God is able. Because if we doubt God, then we're in trouble. We cannot doubt God. We must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, God is able. Okay, it's a great phrase that Paul likes to use. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. He's able to make all grace abound to you. Now again, I'm pulling this out of context because in the context it's talking about giving. It's talking about giving offerings. And it's talking about if you're stingy with God, He's going to be stingy with you. And as we give, if you read out, you check me out there, you read this, that he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And God is able. There's no way we can outgive God, but He is able to make all grace abound unto us. And the context is in giving. Again, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. He is able. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. For in that He Himself hath suffered, having been tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Again, that old English word means succor, means simply to help. But a broader definition is that He is willing to run. This is what He will run to the aid. That's what it means, to run to the aid of those who need help. Because He's been tempted. He's suffered everything every man and woman has ever suffered. And He knows our pain. He knows that we are but dust. And he is filled with compassion to us. And He, as it says here, for in that He Himself hath suffered, being tempted, He will run to the aid. He is able to run to the aid to them who are tempted. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Steve quoted it earlier. Hebrews 7, 25. Hebrews 7, verse 25, and I know I'm moving kind of quick, but these are the He is ables. We got to get these. Wherefore, He is able also to save them unto the uttermost, unto completion, that come unto God through Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. He's able to save us to the uttermost. He's able to save us, to take our feet out of the miry clay, to heal our hearts, to subdue and extricate us from any power of the enemy, from sin, from our birth defects, that being personality defects. He is able to save us to the uttermost if we come to Him, because He's always praying for us. Otherwise, you couldn't do it. No one has a place of pride here that, oh, yeah, I'm set free. Oh, if you are, praise the Lord. But why is it? It's because He has prayed for you, because He ever lives to make intercession. He's praying for us this morning. He's praying for me this morning. He's praying for you this morning, that we'd let Him save us to the uttermost, for He ever lives to make intercession for us. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Famous verse, familiar to us, powerful verse. 2 Timothy, okay, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He is able to keep what I've committed. No man can pluck you out of his hands. No one can pluck you out of his Father's hands. And Paul said, I know that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He is able to keep, to garrison us, to guard us, to protect us. And then the last one, let's look at one more, really familiar to us in the Epistle of Jude, verse 24. Jude, verse 24. And now unto him that is able. It's the same phrase. This phrase rang in the hearts of the early believers. This phrase was loud and ringing and triumphant in the lives of the early disciples and the followers of Christ and the apostles. Because you'll find it again and again. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power now and forever. Now unto him who is able to keep you. Praise the Lord that he's going to keep me. Amen. Go back to Ephesians. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. And again, words fail us to know what to express this, exceeding abundance. I mean, so this is what it says. Take it a little bit at a time. Now unto him. Okay, so that means there's a him. Now unto him. That's wonderful. That I can go to somebody. Do you have somebody to go to? Now unto him. And he isn't just a him. You know, God forgive me that I'm just calling him him. But come with me. Now unto him. It just isn't somebody I go to. It just isn't God up there someplace. But it's unto him who is. Okay? It's not a figment of my imagination. He is. Unto God who is. He is. He is. Those who come to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently. Now unto him who is, and what is he? He is able. He isn't stagnant. He isn't just a potential energy. He's a kinetic. He's moving out. He's moving with power. Now unto him who is able. And he isn't just able, but he's to do. He's to do. He's doing. He's not just able. It's not just to him. It's not just that he is. It's that he is able. So again, I don't know what our situations are, but God is able. I can go to him, and he is, and he is able. And he is not just able. You know, someone might be able, you know, if you had a need, you needed $10 and I got $20 in my pocket, I could help you, but it doesn't mean I'm gonna. But God is not just able, but he's able to do. Okay? And then he's not just gonna do. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? He's not just able to do, he's able to do abundantly. Wow, abundantly. He's not a miserly giver. He's doing it with great abundance. That isn't enough though. He's going to exceed abundance. This is our God. He is. He's able. Look at the sequence of it. The Spirit lays out for him. He exceeds abundance. Here's an example. We got Abraham. We won't turn there. Genesis 15. Read the first five verses of Genesis 15. Abraham laments to God. He says, What are you going to do seeing I have no heir? I've got no one. You told me that I was going to be the father of nations. I don't have anybody. What are you going to do? I don't have an heir. What are you going to do, Lord? I got this one born in my house, but he's born by a servant. And then God says to him, oh yeah, I'm going to give you a seed. I'll give you a son. In fact, Sarah will bear a child in her old age. Isn't that enough? That's what he wanted, was a descendant. Wasn't that enough? And he says, no, that's not enough. He said, now it's nighttime. Come with me, Abraham. Look up in the sky. What do you see? You see the stars without number. That's the number of your children. Wouldn't one been enough for Abraham? But God says, that's not enough. Look at the skies. Look at the stars at night. He exceeded abundance with Abraham. Isn't that what he does? Think of, it's in 1 Kings 3, in where Solomon comes and God says, you ask me, you're now going to be the king. Your father is gone and you're going to be the king over Israel. What do you want from me? Ask me anything that you want. And Solomon says, he thinks and he says, I want an understanding heart so I can work with the people. so I can discern the people, so I can govern the people. Lord, that's all I want. Just give me an understanding heart. And God said, all right, I'll give you an understanding heart. Has anyone had more wisdom than Solomon? No one. But is that all God did? He said, no, I'm also going to give you all the riches. I'm going to make you the richest man who's ever lived. I'm going to give you children. I'm going to give you also long life. Because you never asked for those things. And the problem in a lot of churches today is that people ask for all those things and they got it wrong. He just wanted to please God. Just give me discernment. Just give me an understanding heart so I can work with your people. Man, that's a need if you're working with people. Dale, Mike, Bonnie, Jordy, and whoever else is working. Man, we need understanding hearts to understand each other and to know what people are going through. Give me an understanding heart. Not asking for money, wealth, long life. He didn't ask for any of those things, but God gave it to him. How about you when you got saved? Why did you come to the Lord? You know, and you don't have to answer me, but where are you now compared to what you thought you were going to get? Has he given to you, has he increased to you more than you ever thought you would get? My testimony is he has. You know, and the verse that he gave me was from Mark 10, verse 29 and 30, that any man who leaves house, who leaves father, mother, children, friends, lands, houses, yes, for my sake, shall in this life receive 100-fold of the same. Yeah, some persecutions, but you'll have all these things in a life to come, eternal life. That has been so fulfilled in my life that it's unbelievable. I mean, I have a family all over the world. You know this. Whether I go to Africa or England or Thailand or Burma or wherever we go, we've got family, don't we? All over the world. Brothers and sisters everywhere. It's been fulfilled in our lives. And I'm not sure what's doing that, but I guess it's just to keep us alive and awake. The other one I want to bring to your memory, and maybe tonight we will watch again before we start our praising as introduction to our praising time, is the new testimony of Danny Valesco. Okay, remember Danny Valesco? He is the man who was one of the greatest makeup artists in New York on Broadway. He earned $3,000 a day, $15,000 a week, $60,000 a month, $720,000 a year. He lived in a 5,000 square foot apartment in New York. Right now, to have a simple apartment in New York, the average cost is $2,800 a month. That's just a small one. We were with somebody a week and a half ago, and they had $1,300, but they were in Brooklyn, which is half the price of what it is in Manhattan. And it was $1,300, but they had utilities, one little bedroom, little thing. But this guy had 5,000 square feet apartment. That's what he had. And his life, you remember, his life was a wreck. He had voices in his head. He weighed 107 pounds. He had hepatitis A, B, and C. He was on the verge of death. In fact, another drug addict told him, you get to the hospital because you're dying. They were on the subway together just beating time. And he said, get to the hospital. At the next stop, there's a hospital. You got to go there because you're almost dead. And he went in and he cried out to the Lord. And all he cried is, Lord, can you please help me, save me. And what he's done in his life, he gives the testimony on this expanded version of his testimony, what he's done in his life. He said, I didn't ask for that. It was beyond anything I asked for. And this is what he's done. He exceeds abundance. Okay, and this is just to create in us hope and excitement and faith and expectancy to go to God again and again and again. William Carey said, ask great things of God and then expect great things from God. And that's what we need to do. There's nothing you can ask that's beyond his power, because there's things that we can't even think. That, you know, it says beyond what you can ask or think. You can't out ask that. We can't do it, you know. And it tells us in Romans 8, doesn't it, that we don't even know how to pray as we should. The Spirit's got to help us pray. And this is what he's saying here. It's beyond what we can ask or think. So it's exceeding abundance. And it's according to the power, the next phrase that, and we spent time last week talking about that, according to the power that works in us. And I just want to give us a short warning here. Do not lay back on your laurels and say, okay, if it's according to the power that worketh in us, and I can quote from Philippians and say, for it is God who works in me both to do and to will of his good pleasure. So I'll just sit back and wait for God to move. That's not an excuse. That you and I are to be involved 100% at pursuing God. He, in a sense, he in a measure, He responds to us as we respond to Him. Steve quoted prophetically this morning from Galatians about if you sow to the flesh, you will reap death. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life. God shall not be mocked. What a man sows, that shall he reap. That also means in my energy levels to God. If I want to sit and lay in bed till 9 in the morning and never get up and pray and wonder why my life is dull and waiting for God to, according to the power that works in me, there's a problem. God expects me to answer His grace in my life and answer His grace with the measure of strength that we have. So I can't. It's not a cop-out to say according to the work, the power that works in us. And this is a mighty power. I'll just spend a little bit of time in it. And this is for each of our lives. You wonder, well, what power is in my life? Well, how about chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 1? And you hath He quickened who were dead. I mean, if you're born again, if Christ is in your life, you were once dead. You didn't raise yourself from the dead. It was the power of God. He did it, didn't He? According to the and you hath He quickened who were dead. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love when He loved us. Then verse 5. Even when we were dead, He hath quickened us and made us alive together. Steve quoted again Colossians chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. I'll just quote it to you. It's Colossians 1 and verse 13. It tells us that who, that's God, hath delivered us out of the power of darkness, out of the authority of darkness. He's delivered us out of the authority of darkness, and He's translated us or moved us into the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of the Son of His love. We've been moved out of the authority, out of the kingdom of Satan, because that's where we were. If we had continued reading in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verses 2, it tells us that we lived in the kingdom of Satan. That was our home. That was the air we breathed. But He has translated us, plucked us up, and translated us into a new kingdom, the kingdom of the Son of His own, of His love, in a kingdom where His Son reigns and it's only love there. That's where He's translated those who are born again. That's according to the, if it's happened to you, that's the power that works in you. It tells us in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 19 of Ephesians, where it says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead shall also, you know, is working in us. The power that raised Christ from the dead. In Romans 8, it says that the power that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies. And again, I've got more verses. We can go on and on and on and on. I'll look at one more in Philippians 3, just the next epistle to the right. Philippians 3 and verse 21. Who shall change our vile body? I'm in Philippians 3 and verse 21. Who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. He is able to subdue everything unto Himself. That's this power that's working in us. Any sin, anything, He's able to subdue everything unto Himself. That's the power. Now, let me look at my notes here for a minute because I've only got a few minutes left and I want to end on the right place. I want to mention to us that one of my thoughts was that in this new creation, you know, this is a greater work than the first creation. When God made the heaven and the earth out of nothing, it says, doesn't it, in Hebrews 11, that by faith we understand that the worlds were made by things that we do not see. By faith we understand that. That was a great miracle, wasn't it? Jesus said that, it was John the Baptist, but quoting about the power of God, he said, God is able to raise up children from these stones. He doesn't need you. He can raise up children from these stones. That would have been a great miracle. He did that when he made, even better than that, in creation, because out of nothing, he created everything that we see. Out of nothing, he created everything that was. But the new creation, the new birth, in one sense, is a more difficult thing. The first creation cost him almost nothing, I suppose. The second creation cost him the life, the death, the blood of God Himself, God the Son. It cost him that. The new creation, or the second creation, didn't. There was no resistance there. He just said it and it was. But this new creation, wow, even we resist it, don't we? Our laziness, our prejudices, even we resist it in a sense. So this second creation is better. And as God said in the first creation, let there be light, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 that God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, He has commanded light to shine in our hearts. The same light that we saw in the face of Jesus Christ, in His face, the glory of God. So it's a tremendous miracle that He's wrought in our life. Let me end with this thought that this is all, as we look at these verses, verse 20, and Paul has a habit of doing this. He says, okay, now, we're finally there. Now unto Him who is able. And then he gets sidetracked again, which he does wonderfully. I mean, remember, from verse 2 all the way to the end of verse 13 was all a sideway. It was all a sidebar. It's all in parentheses. It was added. So here he does it again. Now unto Him. Oh yeah, who is this Him? This is the Him I'm talking about. He is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you can ask, according to the power that works in you. And then, oh yeah, where was it? Here's where I am again. Verse 21. Now unto Him. Okay, you see, finally, okay, I'm back on it. Unto Him. This is what it's all about. Unto Him be glory. It's all about Him. Unto Him be the glory. It's not about me. My sanctification is not about me. My gifting, if I have any, is not about me. My love, my generosity, my effort, my labor, my service to the church, it's not about me. Everything, it's not about us. It's now unto Him. Now unto Him. It's all about Him. And let's take a little time. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. We'll just look at a few verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. In verse 6 it says, closing in at the end of verse, well, verse 5 we pick it up. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. My salvation, your salvation, is to the praise of His glory. It's all about Him. Okay, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory. What should we be about? Praise of His glory. So be careful how you live. Be careful what you say. Because we're to be to the praise of His glory. Our lives are screaming something. May it be not to the praise of me, or to the praise of whatever, or to the disgust of me, or to the disgrace of me, or to God, but may it be to His glory, to His glory. And glory is nice. People know it's good. They really know that glory is good. Verse 14, which is the earnest or the pledge of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Again, there it is, unto the praise of His glory. And let me see if we should read one more. Well, we'll stop there. So it's unto the praise of His glory. This is the great thing. It's all, in Paul's mind, it's all about Him, unto the praise of His glory. And then this is, looking at verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church. Okay? It's in the church. You know, and it said earlier in this chapter, wasn't it, in verse 6, I think, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promises in Christ by this gospel whereof I am made a minister, according to the gift of grace which God hath given unto me. And then he talks about the mystery. And to make all men, verse 9, make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known through the church the manifold wisdom of God. That they look into the church and they say, wow, God has a many-colored wisdom. You know, manifold is many-colored, many-layered. Comes from many sides, we see it. The wisdom of God to save someone like me, to save somebody like Joe, to save somebody like Dale. Principalities and powers look in and say, wow, look at the manifold wisdom of God. He took those rejected things. He took those rejected things and He's done something with them. And He's taken your life and He's done something with it. And it's visible in the church. And so Unto Him be glory in the church throughout all the ages. This, isn't it wonderful? It's not just for this life. It's through all the ages. And again, Paul's Greek doesn't do him justice. Our English doesn't do the Greek justice. It means unto the generations of the generations of the ages of the ages. It's an expression to say forever and ever and ever. It's going to be unto His praise. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto Him be glory in the church. And it's really, in the church is in Christ Jesus. Where is the church? It's in Him. Okay, it's in Him. He's got the church. He's the Lord of the church. The church is in Him. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. So that's where Paul ends. That's the first, that's the doctrinal section of Ephesians, the first three chapters. The next three chapters get in more into the practical side of how all these wonderful things that we can talk about, how they worked out, the nitty-gritty of them. It starts with unity in the church, because he ended here with the church. In the church. In the church. It's about the church. And so practically, how is the glory of God shown in the church in our lives? How is it shown? Loving one another. Yeah, I mean, loving one another. And it's not for our glory, it's for His glory. What does division do for the glory of God? Absolutely nothing. It hurts it. What does schisms do for the glory of God? Who's cheering, who's rooting on the sidelines? Satan, the devil's rooting. Yeah, go after each other, devour one another. That's what we want to see. They're cheering. But God isn't cheering about those things. We're to be rooting for one another. So there's a love. There's a holiness of life. Isn't there a holiness of life that shows, that brings God's glory? Being obedient to God shows His glory. All these things. If this is what it's all about, with the first three chapters end up here, unto Him be glory in the church. And how does that happen? What does that look like? And that's what our business is. Okay? That's what our business is. Everything unto edification, everything for the glory of God, not about me, poor you. They're doing this wrong. They're doing this right. We need this. We need that. It's not about any of that. It's all for the glory of God. And how do we make that happen? You know, what's our responsibility to that? So that's something for us to seek out and ask God about. And let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank You again for Your grace to us. Lord, we thank You for the richness of Your Word, Lord, as we plow into it and as we dig into it, Lord. It just gets deeper and deeper and richer and richer. And Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that Your Spirit would work in my life, Lord, and make these things more real in my life, Lord, with more power in my life, Lord, and help each of us to respond to You, Lord. Because as You give us grace, Lord, if we don't respond to it, Lord, our hearts are hardened to it and grace no longer is effective in our lives, Lord. So help us to respond to Your grace, Lord, that we can have more grace and more grace and more grace, that the God of all grace would just be real in our lives. So, Father, I just ask You to do that in our lives. Lord, let all of our work just be about You and to please You. Father, I pray Your blessing and Your comfort upon Your people today, Lord. Bless each of us, Lord. You know our need. Father, You know where we're at. Bless each of us, Lord, that we would honor You and that we would glorify You, Lord. This is our calling, to give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen.